Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo, a Squid Game podcast where there are only three rules. One, a player is not allowed to stop podcasting. Two, a player who refuses to podcast will be eliminated. And three, the podcast will be terminated if the majority agrees. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And Sean, I want you to know, to this day, I'm still holding up the numbers 1, 2, and 3 with my fingers.
Are you really?
As you do those rules. Yes, 100%.
Mike, we're both about to disappoint the listeners because, first of all, I'm going to disappoint the listeners because I have not been holding up 1, 2, 3 like I used to.
That's disappointing.
It is disappointing. Mike's going to disappoint the listeners because, dear listeners, Mike cannot follow simple instructions.
Wait. I wasn't told that I couldn't watch ahead. No one told me.
I watched
all 5 episodes.
Yeah. Mike messaged me like right after we recorded the last episode. Or not, maybe it was like a day later.
It was the next day, for sure.
It was the next day.
Here's what happened.
I couldn't help it. I've watched all 5 episodes. Yeah,
yeah.
Tell me what happened.
So we watched I watched this episode that we're going to cover today. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And I was like, I think there's 4 episodes out. So I made myself some lunch and I was like, I'll just watch the 4th episode. So I'm eating my lunch, watching the 4th episode. And then as the episode ends, I go, oh man, I wish there was another one. And then because I thought there were only 4. And then it was like one more episode remaining on Netflix. You know how it does that? And I went, oh, shit. I guess I'm late for work today. So I watched the other episode. And let me tell you, we are in for a ride.
Okay.
Episode 4. Okay, let me say this. Episode 4, my least favorite episode so far.
Okay.
Like, not All even right. close, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Episode 5 is incredible.
Oh, okay, so that answers the question that I was going to ask, which was, like, we've been pretty up on the show, and we've been thinking, like, oh, I hope it doesn't fall off. I hope it doesn't, like, especially after what happened in this episode.
Yeah, we'll
I was a little
it,
worried, but... like, how was it going to go from here? But you're saying you're still on board?
I'm still on board. I'm mad that I have to wait till the 29th to watch the next episode.
I have to wait even longer.
Yeah.
I am still watching... as we record, I can follow instructions. Before
there were no
we jump,
instructions given.
Before we jump into this,
there's only
episode,
3 rules, and that's not one of them.
You're right. You're
I know
because right.
I held up my fingers.
You did hold up. You did count. Good job, Mike. You can
Thank
count.
You. Thank you.
We did get some responses, so we are going to. Actually, Mike, I don't know. Is the first episode up or the second episode?
The second episode is not up as of this recording.
Okay.
It goes up on the Wednesday, the 29th, actually. So we're a little behind the cadence on the Netflix show. But I do have a response to the first episode, Sean.
So what I was going to say is we have some responses in the Discord, and we have, like, an email, and we got some responses from the first episode. I think I'm going to volunteer Mike right now. Maybe we'll do an extra episode after the show's over for any late responses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll
you
do
know,
it.
Because we're kind of recording this in a weird way where we're trying to get through it since it's all out as,
right.
you know? So I know that it's kind of weird that, like, we're asking for questions and also we're like, anyways, on to the next episode recording.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if for some reason your question doesn't end up on an episode, or not your question, your answer doesn't end up on an episode, we'll do one maybe, like, a week after the last episode comes out so that all the responses can have come in.
Right.
And make sure that everything gets brought up. But
quick tangent, wanna... Sean. I'm on the Anchor, or sorry, Spotify for Podcasters page for Squid Pro Quo, which has you know, the original covering of the series that we did. And apparently for episode 2, we had a poll. And I don't think we ever announced the results of the poll.
Oh.
The poll was, do you eat ramen dry AF? And one answer was yes, yum, yum, yum. And the other answer was, nah, that's nasty. And nah, that's nasty won 3-2. So
that's
congratulations
crazy.
To everybody who voted on that.
Congratulations. Yeah. What was that, 2 years ago?
Sure. Yeah, I'm not going to. November 7th, 2021. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Damn. That's crazy.
No, that's nasty.
Do you want to do the email or what do you want to do first?
I will
responses?
Read. on our first episode, we got a interaction that was actually flagged by Spotify for Podcasters. Because Carlos, shouts to Carlos, said, licking with saliva and hot breath on the back of the cookie. And I don't, Carlos might have missed the assignment because the question was, how would you handle the picking of the shapes? So, yeah, good job, Carlos.
You know what? Carlos, your heart is in the right place. Yeah. Thank you for responding. You know, hey, look, any interaction is good interaction.
Also,
you know?
We have 6 votes on our poll now, and
oh wow,
I feel a bit vindicated because overwhelmingly people have voted for the triangle on which shape they'd rather have.
Okay.
83% of the vote. No one voted for star and umbrella. A couple votes for circle. So,
okay. Okay.
And then also we got an email, and we haven't said this in the first 2 episodes of this, but we do have a Squid Boys email. It's squidboys with a Z, S-P-Q at gmail.com. And we got an email from Kim. And Kim says, hello, Squid Boys. Regarding whether to choose or not choose the umbrella, I agree that it should be chosen rather than getting yourself eliminated. Contestants are playing this game for themselves, not the line of people behind them. And those toward the back of the line would be all too happy to see each row of 4 eliminated in turn. Give yourself a chance to win the umbrella honeycomb and rest assured that the majority of those who may be angry are about to crack their umbrellas and get eliminated. Although I would wait until the last possible second to concede in case someone else would step up. Loving the review. Looking forward to episode 2. Thank you so much, Kim.
Yes, thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I think I said I wasn't going to pick it. And I do think that, like, that's probably, they're probably right.
Yeah.
Right? Kim's probably right. You probably should just pick it if nobody else will, because at least you've got the chance, right?
Right.
But as we see in this episode, to be honest with you, if you picked the umbrella, I don't know if you'd make it past this episode, the ending.
Mm.
I think we'll talk about, like, and obviously you have no way of knowing that that's coming, but I think that if you are the one that picks the umbrella and you make it through the challenge, you don't make it past what happens at the end of this episode.
Yeah, that's possible.
So we'll talk about that in a bit. But we also had some answers on the Discord from our good friend Tyler Tylerims, where he answered both a question for the first episode and the second episode. He said, for the first episode's question, I definitely try not to settle for umbrella like Spencer did. The hardest I'll take is star. Otherwise, fuck it. We all go down. Which,
okay.
You know what? Fair enough, dude. That's because that's where I was thinking as well. I like the idea of dragging everybody, but I'm also like, I'm a vindictive and petty person. So if these people aren't willing to cooperate, there's something inside of me that's like, yeah, let them all fucking burn.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. I'm with you.
And he said for episode 2, because our questions for episode 2 were, would you be a absolute animal like the rest of the contestants and just steal the food from number 200, or if that was the first question, and the second question
was 198, by the way, not 200.
Was it 198? I thought it was
200. Yeah,
200
was the
guy. Oh,
200
got eliminated. You're right. It was 198.
Yeah,
yep. Two is, if you were on the phone at the end of the episode, what would be your play to try and get somebody else on the phone so they will be eliminated?
Holy
Tyler
cow.
Said, no, I wouldn't just yoink their food. I'd at least ask. So Tyler starts off with like, I'm a good person. Like, I'm not going to take their food, yada, yada, yada. Then this motherfucker says, like Brighton said, I'd go after my own friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I wouldn't yoink their food. That's messed up. But I would immediately trick my own friends into getting eliminated.
And we'll see how 198 handles this in the episode. But
Tyler goes on to say, but other than that, it was clear the first call was to show that good things can happen and trick someone into picking up the second. My play would be to either go after my friends or call someone's number as if the person on the phone wanted them. See, I think that second one's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think 198, when we talk about this episode, handles it the worst way possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely the worst way possible. Do you think you'd go after one of your friends? Would you go after me if we had been in there together?
Oh, absolutely.
It would have made reviewing the episode months later so funny.
Yeah, it would have. It would have, because we would have talked about it for a whole episode. But
yeah,
I'd have been like, Sean, Rian Johnson's on the phone. He wants to talk to you about The Last Jedi 2.
But you know that I would never go pick up the phone if you said that, because there's no way.
And then I would shame you for the rest of the time for not wanting to make The Last Jedi 2.
Yeah, because
you'd never know if I was being honest or not.
I think I'd know. Fabio answered our question from episode 1, where he said, obviously you want to get at least the star triangle. I think Circle is overzealous and you're putting a target on your back if you automatically try to take it. But I would look at my own line of people to see if it has a lot of folks that I think might be a threat, like my bros or some sneaky people. If that's the case, I'm picking the Umbrella and testing my luck because there's a good chance I get a ton of people out if I manage to pass. That's a very, like Kim brought up, hey, if you pick the Umbrella, at least most of the people are probably going to get out. But Fabio phrasing it as, like, there's an opportunity to get rid of a bunch of good players with that is an interesting twist on it that I hadn't thought of.
I had this thought during this episode when, spoilers, the game is not Tug of War, but everybody thinks the game is Tug of War. And I was like, this is why Brighton is maybe the biggest idiot, because he's putting his team, he's stacking his team with all these brawny guys. Put some weak people on your team, because then you're bringing them forward into the competition.
That's true. That's true.
If you just eliminate
easier to take
the
out later.
People,
that's true. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Put old lady Leanne on your team. Like, what are you doing, Brighton?
Put her in one of the small boats.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah. And Sean, new to the Discord, not me, other Sean.
S-E-A-N.
We have so many goddamn Seans in the Discord. Sean, welcome to the Discord.
Thank you for joining the Discord. Links in the
description. Thank you for the Discord. We have so many in the Discord. There's so many of us. They said, paper, rock, scissors among four people, and you can get first, second, third, fourth pick. But then, of course, you have to get all to agree to stick to outcome of paper, rock, scissors.
That's true. The game is to agree.
The game is to agree. Yeah, I like that idea, but I think it would end up, I just think they wouldn't.
The same way as a race, where like they did it and then. Because you get people go, no, I did rock, not scissors. You know, like.
But like the thing with the race is that was so clearly rigged.
Yeah.
Like the guy who came up with the idea was like, all right, go. And he was already moving before he said it. I feel like at least rock, paper, scissors is more fair than that. But yeah, I still don't think people would like agree to it.
You know what the key is to winning rock, paper, scissors?
What is it?
As you make eye contact with the person you're going against,
okay,
and as you're doing the rock, paper, scissors shoot, you say what you're going to do. You make eye contact
rock,
with them.
Rock, paper, scissors shoot, rock, you mean?
You don't say you don't have to say rock, paper, scissors shoot, like you just do your hands, right? And say, I'm going rock.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens is they go, he's not fucking going rock.
He's
going
to go paper, so
exactly.
I'll go scissors.
But you stay
rock. And then
rock.
You go rock.
You stay rock. Mm. You can win. The first time you play someone in rock, paper, scissors, you can win every time doing that.
So, Mike, you're not going to get eliminated in the rock, paper, scissors competition later
on. I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know I'll just go, I'm doing paper. You'll win every time. You're welcome, everybody.
You're welcome. Now, if you're ever abducted and put in the actual Squid Games, you're not going to die in the first round.
Yeah, exactly. Not only is this a review of this reality show, but this is also tips on how to succeed if you ever find yourselves in a squid.
In the real one.
In a squid competition. In a squid-like, if you will. I think I'm going to coin that term, a squid-like.
Okay.
Fortnite, a squid-like.
I feel like, not to totally derail the conversation, I'm surprised that isn't, like, a thing.
A squid-like?
I'm surprised that there aren't a bunch of games coming out that are like
Fall Guys. Fall Guys is a squid-like.
But it's like it's like a squid-like, but I'm surprised there aren't.
Or is it a squid-lite?
I'm surprised there's not more with like basic games. You know, because Fall Guys is kind of complicated, you know? I'm surprised there isn't one where you just get into a lobby and like you fucking battleship.
Or is it like a Squid Game Vania, you know?
I like that one the more.
Squid Game Vania?
Squid Game Vania is pretty good. You can hear all about the different Squid Game Vania games in Mike's Castlevania podcast.
That doesn't exist and will not exist. Anyway,
2097.
Sean, let's
start the
episode. So we last left off.
We laugh?
We were laughing at 198 because he's a fucking idiot.
And I continued to laugh because this guy is awful at this.
And he goes, the first thing he does is like, come here. And no one bites. And then he's like, you want food? And they're like,
he goes, you want food?
And everybody's like, no. And then he walks across the room, like looking panicked, eyes wide.
Yeah.
Like, and he goes, chocolate muffin if you want it. And the guy's like, chocolate muffin? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, not if it's an elimination. And then that is his whole play, is that whoever answers the phone will get a chocolate muffin. And surprisingly, there are some people who like seem like they're going to go for it.
And their friends are like, do not do that.
No.
Do not do that.
No,
do
don't.
Not do that. Don't do that. One guy gets tugged away by his friend.
Right. Like, idiots. But 198,
what?
Ultimately.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny that 198, when he's like starting this, 432, Brighton is like, come on, man.
Right.
Like, immediately he sees through it. He's like, this is awful.
Well, and like Brighton talks about after the fact, he didn't even go for his friends. Like, he went to someone he barely knew to say, hey, chocolate muffin, you know?
Yeah,
like,
Brighton says he would. He's Brighton straight up says he would have gone after his friends.
Well, it's just obvious if he's not going, like, if it's something good, he would go to his friends and go, hey, I got something good, right? And, you know, I think there's a lot, you know, he panicked, obviously, but there were a lot more ingenious ways to handle this. Like, for example, like we said, calling, like, hey, 224, they want you over here, you know, or
you can
get immunity in the next game or an advantage, you know, like something other than a chocolate muffin.
I think every single person that responded to our question came up with a better idea than 198 did.
Well, and then especially because he immediately goes for 432, kind of.
Yeah.
And they already had beef. So it's like, dude, you're not going to get him. I know that's what you want, but you're not going to get him. And so you have to be smarter than that. And he was not smarter.
I did notice that after he got out, Leanne was laughing at him.
Yes. Yes.
Which I thought was funny.
Someone, I think it might have been Brighton, but someone at one point says, I can see the fear in his eyes. And then he finally, you can tell he's getting frustrated toward before he gets eliminated, because he goes, it's not that deep, mate. And they're like, yeah, dude, whatever.
When you start saying it's not that deep, mate,
you're done.
In the aftermath, we get a couple interactions between some contestants. Steven talks to Rick, the old guy.
Rick and Steven, best buds.
And Steven goes, you're the brightest light in here.
Yeah.
I think
Steven really misses Kyle, his mullet bro.
And his other friend from before then.
Right, Chase, yeah.
Chase has
gone through friends really easily. We get this talking head with Rick where he talks about he doesn't want to win, he just wants to help people. And we get
I'm just here to, you know, if I can help one person, I feel like I'll have accomplished something in my life. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking
about? These talking heads this episode where they talk about how they're not there to win, and I just don't understand that.
Like, at one point he goes, I wonder if the bees think about me.
Yeah, okay, like, so what I was going to say is this talking head just devolves into, like, have you ever, like, had a conversation with an old person and you're just like, okay, there's nothing else we need to say to each other.
We are
not, like, but they just continue to go on and you're just like, okay, I'm being nice because they're old and they probably only have a couple years left on this earth. And, you know, that's literally what happens in this talking head, is he just starts going on about bees and he does it later again. He's actually, I don't know if this is in this episode. Shit.
See, this is the problem, Mike. This is what happens when you break the rules.
Here's the real problem. Is that I didn't take notes on this episode until like 5 minutes ago, and I only got halfway through because I forgot I didn't take notes because I just watched it, and I meant to rewatch it taking notes. So we'll table that, and then if there's another talking head with Rick, I'll bring it up. But he basically does a lot of old man conversations. And then we meet Figgy.
So we've seen Figgy around. I do have to say, in the lead up to meeting Figgy, Trey is asking, like, hey, if I go, can you take care of my mom? Which is like, I guess that's sweet, maybe. Anyways.
Trey likes Figgy, let's be real.
That's what I was about to ask. Do you think he was trying to riz her up? Because I think so.
Trey is trying to, like, you know, Trey seems like a nice guy.
He's like leaning in a little bit in this scene, talking to her. Like,
he's like, you know, hey, this girl's cute. I'm going to tell her to take care of my mom. Maybe that gives me some brownie points, you know?
Yeah. That's what I thought was going on, too.
Yeah. But what do you think of Figgy, Sean? Because we get a talking head from Figgy here, where she kind of does the I'm not here to win thing.
But like, in the most psychotic way possible.
Yeah, it's a little more insidious.
Figgy essentially says that, like, she wants to form toxic relationships with everybody in the game so that they feel that they rely on her and they can't get rid of her. Which is, like, look, I guess that's a good way to not get eliminated, but also, it's absolutely psychotic. Like, can you imagine, like, I'm gonna cultivate this fake relationship with this person and make them feel like they depend on me for stability and for, like, emotional wellness just so that I can get further in this competition. Like, that's crazy shit to do. What were your thoughts?
No, I agree. I wrote in the notes I took, Figgy is a psychopath. Also, what kind of name is Figgy?
It's not her real name, right? Like, obviously.
She goes by it.
I think it's like a nickname.
Yeah. What was it short for, you think?
Fitzgerald.
Mm.
Yeah. So the next morning... In the next morning...
I was not pleased by your logical answer.
Before the lights go on, I noticed this. Brighton is already up and pacing.
Yeah.
Before the clock goes off, he's dressed. He's got his, like, bag thing on that he wears. And he's just pacing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you the way that you are, dude? Why do you act like this? And they all, like, assume, okay, it's going to be tug of war, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brighton's like, I got to get the squad ready. And
they're doing, like,
I understand
laps
wanting to warm up, like, let's do some stretching. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they're using up energy. Like, he's doing push-ups, and he's, like, they're doing laps around the room. I'm like, okay, maybe stretch, you know, get limber. But, like, I feel like you're setting yourself up to go into the challenge already tired if you're, like, gonna, like, do a quick workout when you wake up, too. I don't know.
I agree.
Maybe it's because I'm not, like, a workout guy, you know? I mean, you know, Mike, you've met me. I'm not a workout guy.
You're not a workout guy.
But
I can,
like,
confirm, everybody, he's not a workout
guy. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But to me, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And they kind of go on to the next challenge.
There's a lot of talk about tug of war.
Okay, yeah.
Because they think it's going to follow the show and it's going to be tug of war.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. I don't know that... tug of war to me is like, it's in the original show. And that would be like a good, like, trailer moment for this show.
Yeah.
And we didn't see it at all. Right? So I think we probably should have expected no tug of war.
I think it's hard to do that. I'll also say that, like, I was not surprised by this twist. Because when I clicked on the episode, the thumbnail was Battleship.
Yeah. They name it War. They called this episode War. We're leading up to this, the episodes have been named, they're like equal in like what the game was from the show. Like the Man of the Umbrella and that. This one was just called War. And so you're like, oh, it could be Tug of War, but really it's not. And it's before we get to that, they get put in a room and there's eight signs to line
up. Okay, sorry, before we jump to that, I actually, there was some talking about, like,
okay, sorry, before we jump to, no, I'm just kidding.
There's some talk of, like, man, you know, we're going into this and, you know, you don't want your good friends to go, and I'm like, you've been in here for 3 days.
Yeah
Do you have good friends in here? Like, I don't know if I buy it. And the other thing that, while I was just watching this, I was very curious about how they shoot all this. Because, like, presumably the dormitory is one place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then do you think they take them, like, there's no way that the dormitory leads into the fucking Usher painting.
I don't know, man.
Like, I think it's got to be another set that they got footage of them walking up the stairs to use as interstitial. Like, my thought is they get shuttled over to this other, like, battleship set or the lineup room set. Like, I'd be curious to, because this is the kind of thing I think of. I think of like the production side, and I'd be curious to know. Like, my assumption is they're all individual sets.
I don't know,
that they
man.
Have to get like shuttled to.
I don't know. I think this is all one stage, sound stage. On
you
like,
think so?
Fucking Netflix's lot or whatever.
Hmm.
Netflix spares no expense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. Anyways, yeah, so they go to the, they go and they, like you said, there's the eight lines that they have to form.
And they have to form equal teams. And there's a guy we haven't met yet named TJ that we're going to meet a little later who is really, like, barking out orders to people. About,
yeah.
You know, think about the everybody else. Don't just think about yourself because the teams have to be equal.
Yeah.
And Figgy is just bullying this yeah. guy.
Get out of line. Like, go, we don't want you.
And she does the, like, school thing when you're bullying somebody. Yeah. Everybody that wants 186 to get out of line, raise your hand. And then he doubles down and goes, that doesn't mean I'm going to get out of line. And it's really
yeah,
funny. And then TJ gets involved and starts yelling. And so he's like, all right, fine, sure. And then Sean, not his real name,
Dash.
Invites 186 to his line and says, we got this, bro. Don't worry, we got this.
Figgy really making, you know, good relationships with people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yelling, get out of line.
Exactly.
I thought like them voting on who to kick out was, so okay, who wants to get rid of blah 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 blah?
Yeah.
And like he's like, I'm not gonna move. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, there was a,
I guess
I wrote the game is to agree. Because I like writing that whenever there's anything like this.
Do you think they would have eliminated a whole ass line if there wasn't?
No.
I don't think so either.
Not a chance.
Because they were definitely afraid that they were going to. That's why they were freaking out, but
right.
I don't think they were.
Yeah,
they
not a chance.
It.
No way. They would have just moved someone. There's a woman who's crying. I didn't catch her number. But Brighton, she's in a different
yeah.
line from Brighton, and Brighton
yeah.
goes, you're bawling crying right now?
Yeah.
For
yeah.
what? And I'm like, what an asshole.
He goes, control your emotions. This is not a game of sympathy at all. And this is when I noticed TJ, 182, because he was consoling this girl.
Yes.
And helping her out.
So I think we meet TJ right after that. And he is a former professional basketball player. And the curiosity
yeah.
got the best of me, Sean, because I said,
okay,
I
yeah.
don't recognize this guy. I used to be pretty
yeah.
into like NBA basketball and college basketball.
Okay.
And I looked him up, and he played for, like, a Harlem Globetrotters-type
oh, okay.
team, but not
yeah.
that. Not even that.
Okay, not even the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah,
okay.
So he wasn't, I mean, it sounds like he had a pretty decent college career, but then didn't play
okay.
in the NBA. So
okay.
He talks.
Well, here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
He seems like a real cool dude.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I think this is the first episode where we meet normal people that I think I like.
Yeah. No, he we also meet Brad in a little bit, who seems pretty normal.
Yeah, Brad, I dug Brad. I thought he seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, seemed like a leader, you know.
Who immediately is like, I play a lot of Battleship. And I was like,
okay. Well, Sean, wait. Warship?
Yeah. Warship, sorry. Warship. Yeah, they really were avoiding
Mattel
that lawsuit.
Mattel did not want the payday. Mattel did not want the payday for some reason.
You know, they could, especially since Mattel's renewed interest in the cinematic universe after Barbie, you know, like,
yeah,
you definitely can. Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Well, no, you'd think they don't want to because they need that Battleship brand to be ready.
But they already made that
movie
and it sucked.
But they're going to make another one.
Yeah, okay. All right. Sure. So we do find out, spoilers, that it's warships and not tug of war.
Yes.
And we have Brad's team. 337 is Brad.
Which has is there anybody on there that's like
Dreadlock guy's on there?
Okay,
I'm scrubbing the episode right now.
Yeah, Leanne and they're not in there.
No, they're
Leanne
later.
And Trey aren't. The other team I think is the big one.
Yeah, because Brighton and 270, whose name escapes me, the Australian guy, the Chad Australian guy, are there, and we meet Jesse.
Who,
so basically this game, they have to pick a captain from each team. Brad's the captain for one team, and Jesse volunteers to be the captain for the other team. And her reasoning is pretty flawed, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
She says she's trying to save herself by stepping up. And so she wants to, you know, take control of her own destiny, so to speak. And I just don't think it works for her. She picks 352 as her lieutenant because you had to pick a lieutenant for some reason. Brad picks 178. We don't get names for these two, I don't think. But
I do think it's interesting, like, that how much of this battleship game, warship game, is kept in. When now that I'm thinking about it, really Brighton's the only character in here that is like.
Yeah, well, it's because Brighton's been such a big character. Yeah. You know, yeah.
So, but it's funny that, like, even they knew. They were like, Brighton's going to be a huge deal. This has to be, like, I mean, this is the centerpiece of the episode, really.
Well, here's the thing, Brighton's though, too. This is the first one. So, like, typically in these reality shows, when they have a game where there's multiple rounds played, the second, third, fourth rounds, whatever, are a little more abbreviated.
Okay.
The problem is the two teams that went second have, like, literally nobody that anybody cares about on it, so they really abbreviate that game
really
in particular.
Yeah.
So it's pretty jarring.
I did want to point out, I wrote down in my notes, Jesse is a, I'd noticed Jesse in the show before, because whenever she pops up, all I go is that Agatha?
I guess let me kind of explain the way this game works. It is typical battleships, as you expect, except the other players on the team are in the ships, right?
Yeah.
And if their ship, the first team to eliminate two of the other team's ships wins, right? But the people in the ships, if their ship gets sunk, doesn't matter if their team wins or loses, they're gone. They're eliminated.
Yes.
Which is pretty interesting. And then if your team loses, your captain and your lieutenant are eliminated. But anybody whose ship wasn't sunk, they stay in the game.
I really liked it. Right. I thought that was really an interesting rule set for them to go with. Man, Jesse really fucked up.
Yes. She,
like, really bad. This goes really poorly.
She, at the last second, and Brighton comments on this, switches boats with Brighton, because Brighton and, again, the guy who's the Australian Chad guy whose name escapes me, they're in a two-person boat, and Brighton's not happy with what she decides.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually, you know who else gets eliminated in this game? The main character, 452.
Right,
I don't think we ever learned his name, but to me, he's the main character.
Yeah,
he is on the blue team as well.
Yeah,
but I love this set. I think it's such a good set. Cool that they actually made, like, a working, you know, mock-up battleship where you put the pegs in and then it glows depending on if it was a hit or not, and I just think this set is so cool. Like, I would love to just, like, play someone in Battleship this way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or Warship. Sorry, Warships.
Warship. I think. And I think this would be this would be such a good game on the actual show.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. We talked about this, like, off where, like, you
were
DMing, like, oh, they fall through, like, a hole. And I was like, well, what if the fucking ship actually explodes, you know? That would be pretty wild. Blood everywhere, you know?
Yeah, there'd be some crazy shit.
Yeah, but this, it's really cool. They do focus on this particular game, like we said, a lot, because it's, one, the first time we're seeing it, and two, spoilers, Brighton gets eliminated.
Yes.
Which I did not have on my bingo card.
Neither did I. I was really surprised, and, like, I think this is the big thing that we kind of teased earlier, where I was unsure about the direction of the show after this.
Yeah.
I was going to
say that as well. We lose Brighton, who's been, like, the main antagonist of the show. And pretty unceremoniously, we lose Brighton.
And I would also say by the end of the episode, we don't have a new one.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why definitely going through by the end of this episode, I was a little like, okay, I don't know.
I'll tell you.
Like, how this will go.
You've already identified the next villain.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
In episode one, you identified the next villain.
Did I say they were going to be a villain, or did I just say, ooh?
100%.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I'll that's good. Okay. I'll leave
Is
you
that going to be episode four?
Yes.
Okay, I might watch that next.
Yeah.
After we finish recording and see.
So anyway, the blue team... loses.
They do pretty good. The blue team does pretty good, though, because... Or not the blue team, sorry. The red team, like, they lose...
They lose one ship.
But at least doesn't the red team take out one of the big ships?
Yeah, they take out the big ship with 452 is on it. The five-person ship. And what's really interesting about this game is, like, if you sink the two ship and the three ship, you'll be done faster than someone who's sinking the five ship, right? And so there's a lot of... In all four of these rounds, there's a lot of close calls where, like,
Yeah.
If you pick the wrong spot, that's the difference between your team winning and losing. And so this is like really like captivating television to me.
It is. I think so too.
And it's edited to be like, oh, like out of order.
They definitely are like, yeah. I was getting a little confused at some points where because of the out of order editing.
Well, you'd see the shot of like the captains deliberating and the pegs wouldn't be there that were there in the previous shot. And Brad does remark, you know, they win and they're jumping and celebrating, but they did lose a ship and there are people on their team that did not make it.
But when you think about like, yeah, it sucks that like they lost the ship, but at the same time,
it doesn't.
And also they managed to take out one of the big ships on the other team.
Yep.
So that means there's five people out of the game. You know, that's kind of another thing is like it would be easier to take out a 2 and a 3, you know?
Yeah.
Because you only need to use five shots to take out a 2 and a 3.
Right.
But taking out a 5 ship, it's 5 shots. It takes you longer, but that's 5 people out of the game.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
and they lost a 4 ship, I think. So they lost a few people there too.
Yeah.
Brighton's last remark is, man, I really thought I'd make it all the way. And then he just kind of looks around in silence and it's like, so did we, buddy. So did we. We were very concerned. When the winning team runs back in, they do a squid dance.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy.
I did like Brad was looking at like the people that were like in the boat and he was kind of like giving like inspirational speeches to them or whatever. And I wrote down, if we can't save the boat, you'll be damn sure we'll avenge it.
So the next game has TJ as the captain, who we talked about.
And
he tells a story about how there was some gang violence and he just jumped on his sister to save her.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And everybody was like, you idiot, why'd you do that? And I'm like, wait, who fucking said that to you?
I don't know who would say that.
They just wanted
like immediately
your
endearing.
Right.
You know,
like, I don't know what you're talking. Why were people mean to you about that? You saved your sister's life. And he's kind of like, that's just who I am. And like, that's great. A great sentiment. You know, he seems like a pretty good guy.
And I mean, it builds up a kind of hero character, which I think they've already been kind of doing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He has Lorenzo on his team.
Yes.
I think that's really the only important character in this one besides him.
I think Leanne and
You're right.
Leanne and Matt Pat are, I couldn't think of his real name, are in this one and they are one shot away from being eliminated.
Oh, you're right.
And TJ pulls through for them. Captain
dude, TJ! I might be getting behind Captain TJ, dude.
Here's the thing. TJ is like I love you guys, man. We got this.
Yeah.
And Lorenzo is not fucking having
it. Well, because Lorenzo's the fucking Joker.
Yeah, I know. I know he is. He really is.
I bet Lorenzo's the new villain. I forgot that he made it through. Oh, he's definitely the new villain, isn't he? Oh, man. Oh, I'm excited because he's the Joker, dude.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
It was funny. I was talking to Fabio about this television show, trying to convince him because he watched the first episode and he said he liked it.
Yeah.
And he was like, what would have been really cool is if they introduced all these characters and just eliminated them. And I was like, dude, I was thinking about this Brighton moment in particular.
I was like,
keep watching this show.
Yeah.
Because the first two episodes, you would have been like, this guy's going to the end. He's the main antagonist of this reality show.
I thought so.
He's, you know, and you would have thought that's it. But no, here we are. And we're like, and like you, after watching this episode, I was concerned. I was like, oh, did this show just lose its edge because of being just a reality show?
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, while I didn't like episode 4 as much, it has not lost its edge.
I'm so excited.
It has not. It has not. So anyway, this game, we almost lose Leanne and Trey, but TJ pulls through.
Other team salutes as they die.
Yeah.
As they lose.
Trey's literally one hit away from his whole ship being eliminated.
And TJ doesn't lose a single ship.
No, because they don't. You're
right.
Because that ship is about to go down and he saves it. So he doesn't lose a single ship.
So which is like kind of their rallying point at the end of it. And that's why I think TJ won so many points with the rest of the crew after this. Like, not losing a single ship. That entire crew is like dedicated now.
He has a moment afterwards when they win where he's teared up. Yeah. And Trey comes up to him and goes, hey, man, what you did for us was so great. Yeah. Like, I really, you know, you did that. You're a leader. I'm so proud of you, you know, and it's like, it's pretty cool moment.
It's pretty emotional, and it feels real.
Right.
It, you know, yeah. Like, that moment could very easily have been felt like tacky and not, and, you know, very, like, fake, but it definitely hit, I think.
Yeah, I agree. So we get to the next game, and we have B, number 18, who is definitely a Twitch streamer.
Yeah, well, in reality, we find out that she's a video game developer, right?
Oh, I don't know. I think she plays games for a living. It says games industry professional. I think she's a streamer.
Oh, maybe she is a streamer.
I think she's a streamer. I haven't looked her up. Because when I looked, one thing I didn't say when I was looking up TJ is I was terrified that I was going to spoil the show
get
for
spoiled?
Myself.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
So I didn't look super into TJ other than, okay, he wasn't like an NBA basketball player. I didn't look her up at all. I'm assuming she's a streamer. That's my assumption from it.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
She talks about how much she likes games and how good she is at games. And
well, she gets introduced and she's like, I think everyone knew that I was a bit different from other people from a really early age. And she said that she has an IQ in the top 0.5% or whatever. And immediately I was like, this is going to fucking, like,
but then
this is going to be stupid.
She
like,
fucking
she's gonna,
annihilates this other
dude,
team. Not just, even close.
Completely. And she's like, people always aim for C3 first. And I was like, bullshit. Nope. Okay. They did aim for C3.
And this is the game where they run through it really fast because the rest of the team is like just, we don't even know who the captain is. Number 57. We don't even know who she is because they just get annihilated and it's just done for them.
B just totally destroys all of them. Yep. Like they edit it to make it look more impressive than it actually is. Like,
for sure.
When you get a good look at the set, you see that she did miss a few, but they only show her hits.
Right.
Like, they just show B hitting over and over and over again in rapid succession. And she does miss a few, but it's still like, I messaged Mike afterwards. I was getting ready to like totally clown on B because like, let's be real, her talking head was pretty fucking cringy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can because...
Well, and what's really funny to me is like
he destroyed them.
I'm watching it back right now, like with the sound off, just to like jog my memory because I didn't take notes. And she'll like put in her shot and then put her hands behind her back and walk away like a fucking like general. You know, she like just keeps doing it, and it's making me laugh so fucking hard.
She does so well in this that I can't hate on her.
Well, and they just showed now too, like. She didn't lose a ship, but they were definitely hitting her ships.
Yeah.
Which they don't really show that, like that she would, but they didn't lose any ships, but there definitely were some hits there. So,
and she says like, I think people realize now that I'm super intelligent, and I'm like,
okay, easy.
You're easy, but you are very good at this, but easy, you know?
And then now we have the Ganbu gang coming in. And,
with the dude, 107 as well.
Yeah. Yeah, 107's on the red team with Figgy, and the Ganbu gang is on the blue team. And Dan, 204, Dan is the captain of the Ganbu gang.
You know what? Dan really shone
in this
because Dan makes the call. Like, this is the episode where we get some heroes for this show. We've had all villains until now, but then we get introduced to TJ, we get introduced to Brad.
Yep.
And then we get Dan, and like, you know, not to totally spoil it, but like it comes down to the very end where like we know which one is the right answer for them to win.
And Dan,
and everybody wants Dan to pick the wrong one.
Including Dan, by the way.
Including Dan.
Dan goes, I have five like kids or something, so I want to pick
five. I think it should be five.
And Rick goes, I have 18 grandkids, so I want to pick eight. And you're like, what? And everybody's saying five, and Rick goes, pick eight. And Dan goes, I'm picking eight. I'm going with Rick. And it's the right call because they win because of it.
And then Rick goes, I helped. Like, that's his talking head. He just says, I did something. I helped. I did what I wanted to do. And now I'm so scared that we're going to get a horrific death scene, like, in Squid Game later on, where Rick is going to die. Rick is going to die playing marbles with, like, Steven or something.
Right. We also lose Figgy in this round.
Yep.
And we lose 107, Theo, who was my dark horse to win the whole thing, which I was pretty upset about.
Dude, rip Theo.
We lose a ship of two people on the blue team as well that aren't people we know. But Dan, you know, this is an intense, and I feel like we're underselling it a little bit, how intense this actual game is.
It's riveting to watch.
It is. It really is. I mean, I don't think it wouldn't behoove us to go, okay, then he does C4 does B6. And it's like, but it's a pretty intense game, and it comes down to Rick's call, which he makes the right call thanks to his 18 grandkids.
Like, I truly was on the edge of my seat waiting to see if Dan was going. Because, and I think the genius thing is we know the right answer, right? Mm-hmm. We know that Rick has the right answer. Right. And we know that everybody but Rick wants to pick the wrong answer. And so I was on the edge of my seat. Like, I was like, Dan, just trust Rick. Just trust Rick, Dan. And it was really, like, it's a well-made. I've got to say, I've seen a lot of shit talk about this show online, and I think that a lot of the conversation around its existence being like we talked about this in the first episode, like, it sounds like the production was really fucked up. It sounds like, you know, like, obviously the existence of the show is antithetical to, like, the whole fucking premise of the original show, all that stuff. But all that aside, looking at this as a reality TV show, it's fucking riveting.
Yeah, it is.
So I really think that people aren't giving this show that. I feel like a lot of people went into this show with their minds made up.
I will say,
you know,
when I logged onto Netflix today, it's the number one trending show on Netflix.
Okay.
So people
maybe I'm just seeing a lot of
it,
Twitter.
I think,
you know?
I think you're just seeing the vocal minority on Twitter saying bad things about the show, and like, reviewers speak. And reality TV shows are never going to review well with reviewers.
No.
And I will say, we were going to cover this as, like, a joke, right?
A joke, yeah.
And now I'm so glad we did, because I agree. I think it's riveting.
Like, listen to how enthused we are talking about this.
Right, exactly.
Like, and I think that this episode really sells that, like, they know how to make a fucking show that's tense as well, you know? So I think, you know, obviously nothing will, you know, it's not trying to be the actual, you know, show.
No.
But for what it is, I think it's a lot of fun. So, I was a little disappointed to see all this conversation, because it does feel like a lot of the people that are being very vocally, like, dismissive of it kind of had their minds made up. And to an extent, like, I don't begrudge those people, because I understand their problems. But I do think if you try to separate the show from, like, everything surrounding it and just approach it as, like, what it is and engage with it on that level, I think it's really engaging and a lot of fun.
I agree. After that match where Rick saves the day, he's a hero, and Steven goes, Rick and I were close before this, but I trust him with my life at this point. I trust this old man with my life, he says.
I can't wait to see what
Steven
happens.
Steven is so down bad for friendship.
He really is, isn't he?
He's so down bad for
Who
friendship.
Hurt him? Have we gotten a talking head about, like, the tragedy in his past? Yeah, I don't think so. Something is, there's got to be something up with that boy. I don't know. That boy ain't right.
So Trey is upset, you know, waiting for Figgy to come through the door, and she ain't coming through the door, brother.
And he was down bad.
Yeah, he was. Where's Figgy? Where's Figgy? And she didn't
he even
make
talks
it.
To his mom about it.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, you're being kind of a pussy. No, she doesn't say that.
No. And they do the thing where they, like, get rid of the faces on the board. And I was like, man, they're really fucking, we're getting down to it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think we go sub 100 on this one, right? They're like down to 90 something.
Yes. I'm at that part in the show right now where the guards are coming out. But they go down lower than 100.
And 90s, 80s. Yeah, they're down there. They're down there.
Yep. And so
70. Yeah, it's they're at 73.
73 people left, $3.83 million.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of, you know, relaxing afterwards. And then they bring out this control panel.
fucking scary as shit. I actually wrote down, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. So they're going to do a vote, which is similar to like the vote they do in the show where they decide if they're going home or not, right?
Yeah.
But this one is everybody's going to vote a number to be eliminated. And the top three players who are voted will be eliminated.
Are going to go. And they said this is the first of two elimination tests that are going to happen in front of everybody. So this is just the beginning. And I'm like, man. Oh, man, I forgot it was the top three. You're right.
Yep.
So I guess, like, let's end the episode with, like, talking about, I guess you can't answer this question because you know, because you can't listen to directions, apparently.
There are no directions. there were no rules.
There were no rules. The rule is to keep watching.
The rule is to agree.
And I agree that I'm glad you had a good time watching it. So I will try and pick three people, and I want to ask, you know, people, no spoilers. I guess that's not a good question, is it? Because people probably have already watched all five episodes. Yeah. So while I try to pick the three people I think are going to get voted out, why don't you try to come up with a better question than that?
Okay.
I think TJ, them losing not a single ship, I think he's got a target on his back for that.
Okay.
I think that B might have a target on her back after that.
Okay.
And, I don't think they realize the threat that Lorenzo poses as a human being yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not just as a contestant, just as a person in this world. I think the FBI should be watching Lorenzo.
Yeah, they should.
I think he's a... I'm getting the picture. I've got the shot open of all the remaining faces. So I've got TJ. I've got B. Who's like the third? Maybe... Jada made it. And Jada's psychic. So...
She's clairvoyant, maybe, even. Yeah.
Clairvoyant. I really don't know, but besides... I could maybe see TJ, I could see Brad, because he also did really well.
Okay.
So maybe I'll say TJ, Brad, B. The three, they're the only people that I'm looking at right now that I'm like, I feel like they've got the skill, you know?
Uh-huh.
To have targets on their backs.
Okay. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
You know, you'll at least obey that rule.
Right. That's not a rule either, but I will choose to obey it.
I'm gonna write down those at the top of my episode four notes so that I remember. I said TJ, Brad, and B. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Did you come up with a question while I was going through that?
The only question that I came up with in my head is, at this stage of the game, who would you eliminate?
Oh, that's a better question. Yeah. With everybody. Yeah. Okay. Let's say at this stage of the game, you know,
don't be spoilery, but who would you eliminate?
I will also, when I post this, I'll try to real quick grab the screen cap of
everybody
that's left in, because they show the board, and I'll post that with a spoiler warning on it. And
who would you eliminate, and for what reason?
Yeah,
because
you're number
I will tell
one.
You going into this episode that. There are, one, the vote's public.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is people will know, not entirely. The way they do it, Sean, and this isn't necessarily a spoiler, but the way they do it is when someone gets voted for the first time, their picture pops up on the screen.
Interesting, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's probably pressure from the outside to not vote for someone new.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Okay, interesting.
Because then you're making an enemy, right? But people, when they do vote for someone new, give you reasons, and some are legitimate reasons, and some are batshit crazy reasons.
I'm excited.
It's very exciting. I don't want to talk too much about the episode, but I will say... The reason that it's my least favorite episode so far has really nothing to do with like the drama or the payoff. It's that the two tests take up the whole episode. So there's not a game.
Yeah, okay. So there's not a game, and
so
that's
in like the
exciting.
Similar
okay.
way to where like although objectively episode two of Squid Game Hell is a good episode, I didn't like it as much because there wasn't a game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it's just that kind of thing. Even though this is a game, like, it's just not like a big
it's
set
a different kind of
game.
It's
like,
not a big set. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
it's not a cool worship set. Right. So I'll say, answer either. I mean, if you think that you've got like if you think you've got all three, I mean, give us all three. But
well, you can only
vote
for
one
person. So just vote for one person.
Oh, okay, okay.
You can only vote for one person. It's just the top three get eliminated.
I see. So yeah, so okay. So give us your who you would vote for then.
And why.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. That's all I've got.
Yeah. Thank you everybody for listening. We've had a pretty good response to this podcast coming back. I mean, the original Squid Pro Quo had a pretty good response too and a pretty decent listenership. So we appreciate the people that have come back and we appreciate the new people that have dropped in to hang out with us for this fun reality show game. Remember, you can email us at squidboysspq@gmail.com. That's squidboys with a Z. You can join the Discord in the description to answer any of this stuff. Or you, on Spotify for podcasters, they allow us to put the questions in there so you can answer them there as well. So, thank you guys again. Sean, where can people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK.
And you can follow me at SpikeGettyBros on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. Sean, I agree to end this episode.
I agree. See you guys later.
Bye.